Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all today. Please be seated. It's good that we've got some lovely fine weather today, so let's hope it remains like this for the rest of the day. I've got a couple of notices to give you. One is about the leaving of the Reverend Pedro, Romeo Pedro. As you know, they're organising a leaving gift, so if you'd like to contribute to the gift, the preferred method is directly into a bank account. And if you want to do that, you see Trevor for details. And if you're not able to do it by bank transfer, then you can put cash into a sealed envelope marked Leaving Gift for Reverend Romeo, and also pass to Trevor for next Sunday, please. So if you want to do that, either see Trevor if you want to do it by bank transfer, or give Trevor an envelope with some money in it. I've also got another notice for those from the Baptist Church. We've just completed a new Baptist Church directory, and there's a couple of copies on the back of the church there. So after the service, if you want to have a quick look at it and just check to make sure that your entry is correct in it, if it is, just put a sort of a little tick on it. And if it's not, if you could make an amendment or talk to one of the deacons as well, so that we can do a reprint and make sure all the information in it's correct. Okay. Anybody got any more notices while we're at it? No? As you know, this month is Bible month, and we're going to be looking at the book of Prophet Isaiah. I think last week, certainly in the our Baptist service, we looked at a passage from Isaiah, and I presume that if you were at the pastures, you did the same. So the messages were probably slightly different last week. So this week we're going to be looking at Isaiah's prophecy about light and darkness. We're going to open our service this morning by listening to a short video, which really is a sung and reflective version of Isaiah chapter 60 and the first three verses.
Upon you.
let's come now to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just spend a moment or two just reflecting on those words, that prophecy from Isaiah from many thousands of years ago. Father, we're so conscious that we do live indeed in a world of darkness. A world, Lord, where people have not heard your word, who don't know you. Father, we thank you that it's your desire that you bring light into this dark world. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son Jesus to be the light of the world. And we thank you, Lord, that we're here this morning to worship and praise Jesus, Father, to bring him our honour and our glory, Lord, for just to put him, Lord, at the very centre of our worship today. We ask, Lord, that in our service we might really experience the presence of Jesus in our midst, that he might brighten up our hearts, Lord. Banish, Father, any darkness, Lord, any dark thoughts, Father, that we might have, so that we might, Lord, worship together today in spirit and in truth, in the name of our Saviour Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand and to sing now. Some of the songs are in all of the songs are in Baptist Praise and Worship, if you want to use those books, and some of them are also in Songs of Fellowship. So our first one is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
I expect many of you have got one of these or something fairly similar in your garden. It's one of these solar lights. They seem to be quite popular at the minute, don't they? You know, they every garden shop or DIY store you go in, they've got hundreds of these on sale. And we've got a few in our garden as well, so I've pinched this out of one of our flower pots. Now, of course, the thing about solar lights is that they charge up during the day, don't they, from the rays of the sun, and they give out the light in the darkness at night. So if I put my hand over there, you can't very well see this here, but you see it sort of does light up. If I take my hand away, it stops. I'm sure if I put it somewhere in the church, there's a dark corner that it will remain illuminated throughout most of the service. And as I said earlier, today we're going to be thinking about the darkness and the light. And Isaiah's prophecy actually says quite a bit about darkness and light. You know, you think of some of the famous readings that we have at Christmas, you know, Isaiah talks about, you know, seeing a great light and, you know, the coming of Jesus, and prophesies about those things. And I just want us to think this morning that, you know, we do need God's light, don't we, in the world in which we live. It's a very dark place at the moment, and from where I'm standing, it seems to be getting darker and darker. And it's very hard, isn't it? You know, we were saying this morning, you know, trying to preach the gospel and to try and make known Jesus to people is getting harder and harder, isn't it? You know, in this country. But it reminds us, this light does, that we do need the recharging, don't we, of God's light in our hearts, so that when we do go into dark places, that the light is able to shine. And we're only able to do that through the charging light of God in our hearts. So we do need to spend time, don't we, with God in our world today, so that in turn that we might be able to give off that light to others in the darkness. So I'll put this here, and it's come on already because it's a bit dark out there, so I'll leave it that on there for the rest of the service. We're going to sing another hymn now. I wasn't sure whether you know this. It's quite an old hymn, and it's called Your Kingdom Come, O God. Your Kingdom Come, O God.
Oh,
We're going now to give thanks for the offering today. If you want to give to the work here, for God's work here at the church, there's some offering plates at the front and at the back. We don't normally take up an offering in our service, but we just want to give God thanks for all of the things that he provides for us and his never-ending generosity. So let's pray, and then after I've said a short prayer, we'll say the Lord's Prayer, shall we, together. Father God, we thank you for the gifts that have been given this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're the provider of these gifts, that you give us the wherewithal, Lord, to be able just to give something back to you. But we do pray, Lord, that the money that's been collected today might be used wisely, both here, Lord, in Kingsthorpe and in the wider world, that you might give those entrusted for spending it, Lord, wisdom, so that it might be directed in the places where you want it to go. We just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's say the Lord's Prayer, shall we, together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. I'm going to ask Carol now to step forward, and is going to read to us from Isaiah and chapter 19.
Egypt will worship the Lord. A time is coming when the people of Egypt will be as timid as women. They will tremble in terror when they see that the Lord Almighty has stretched out his hand to punish them. The people of Egypt will be terrified of Judah every time they are reminded of the fate that the Lord Almighty has prepared for them. When the time comes, the Hebrew language will be spoken in five Egyptian cities. The people there will take their oaths in the name of the Lord Almighty. One of the cities will be called City of the Sun. When that time comes, there will be an altar to the Lord in the land of Egypt and a stone pillar dedicated to him at the Egyptian border. They will be symbols of the Lord Almighty's presence in Egypt. When the people there are oppressed and call out to the Lord for help, he will send someone to rescue them. The Lord will reveal himself to the Egyptian people, and then they will acknowledge and worship him and bring him sacrifices and offerings. They will make solemn promises to him and do what they promise. The Lord will punish the Egyptians, but then he will heal them. They will turn to him, and he will heal, and he will hear their prayers and heal them. When that time comes, there will be a highway between Egypt and Assyria. The people of those two countries will travel to and fro between them, and the two nations will worship together. When that time comes, Israel will rank with Egypt and Assyria, and these three nations will be a blessing to all the world. The Lord Almighty will bless them and say, I will bless you, Egypt, my people, you, Assyria, whom I created, and you, Israel, my chosen people. Amen.
Thanks, Carol. That's good. We're going to be thinking about those words from Isaiah in a minute or two. Before we do that, we're going to sing another song, hymn together. There's a Light Upon the Mountains.
Light upon the mountains.
I want you to think today, I'm going to put a map up in a minute, but I want you to think about what you think are the superpowers of today. I'm not thinking of the Mutant Ninja Turtles or Batman or something like that. I'm thinking of the countries in our world today that we would describe as superpowers. Any ideas? China? Russia?
USA?
Yeah.
India? Japan.
Yeah. Do you want to put the slide up? Yeah, so I've put quite a few up there. We've got Russia, China, America, India, and I've also put some other ones up there as well. Some of the global superpowers we've got, like the United Nations and the World Economic Forum as well. The European Union is a superpower, isn't it? You know, there's different superpowers now that are emerging in the countries, in the world in which we live today. And of course, superpowers have been around for a long time in one form or another, haven't we? You know, the Egyptians were a superpower, the Romans were another superpower, the Greek Empire, the Ottoman Empire. You know, if you look down through history, there's always been a big power that's had the world in the grip of its power. But of course, power has got a double-edged sword, hasn't it? You can use the power that you've got for good, or it can become a force for evil, can't it? You know, we hear, don't we, about people who abuse the power that they have. And of course, as we look around the world today, you know, we can see evidence, can't we, of the way that nations are abusing their power and ends up in strife and in war and division as well. Now, in the reading that Carol did this morning, we've got a similar picture in actual fact. So I'm going to put the second map up now, which is the world of Isaiah. And if you look at this, you've got the little country of Judah and Israel in the middle of the map there, just by the Great Sea. And then down the bottom left-hand corner, you've got Egypt, which Carol spoke a lot about in that prophecy there. And then you've got Assyria, which is also mentioned in the prophecy in the top right-hand corner. And also another big emerging power as well was the power of Babylonia, of Babylon. And of course, later on we hear how the Israelites were exiled into Babylon. So, you know, in Isaiah's time, it was quite a turbulent situation. You know, a million miles away from the world as it is today. And Isaiah was speaking to a world of darkness, a world of oppression, a world where war and strife were happening. But Isaiah's message was not just a message of... last week we had a message of doom and gloom from Martin. But it's a bit of doom and gloom this week, I have to admit. We have got a bit of doom and gloom, I'm afraid. But Isaiah's message, though, in this passage, is a message of hope, a message of light coming in the darkness. So I just want to think of a few things this morning about this prophecy of Isaiah and how relevant I think it is for us today in 2022. The first thing is that these nations were in darkness, and Isaiah makes that very clear, doesn't he? And in one way or another, they'd all moved away from God. Egypt, the Assyrians, and even God's chosen people, the Israelites, had moved away from God, hadn't they? They'd started worshipping other idols and other things as well. And when you think about Israel, about Egypt and Assyria, you know, both of them were doing quite terrible things. You know, think about the atrocities that the Egyptians did to the Israelites whilst they were in captivity there. and the bloodshed that happened as well. You know, so, you know, it's a pretty dire, pretty difficult situation. You know, we only need to look today, don't we, at the things that are happening, the tensions that are happening in the Middle East today, you know, and to draw some of the parallels today. We sung that hymn a few moments ago, Thy Kingdom Come, O God. And I particularly chose this hymn because I think it's quite an interesting sort of story behind the last verse. Do you remember the last verse goes, our lands both near and far, darkness broodeth yet, arise, O morning star, arise and never set. And interestingly, when this hymn was written, it's well over 100 years old, this hymn is, the original words of that last verse were, our heathen lands afar. Because in those days, people thought that, you know, people around the rest of the world needed God's thing. But, you know, when you look at it, the country in which we live today is in darkness as well, isn't it? People do not know God. You know, we think that places like Russia and China and North Korea are places where Christians are persecuted, are places of darkness. But, you know, there are many, many places of darkness closer to home. We live in a very dark world at the moment. So, Isaiah then was tasked by God to speak to this situation that he was in. Egyptians on one side, Assyrians on the other, and Judah and Israel in the middle there. And of course, this stems right back, doesn't it, to the time of Abraham, where Isaac and Ishmael were parted as well, and the tribe of Isaac came to be part of the form of the Jews, and of course Ishmael then became the non-Jews, didn't they, the Arabic races as well. And God wanted, though, that despite that split that occurred all those thousands of years before this happened, he wanted the nations to reunite and to come back together. This is what he says right back in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis in chapter 12. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, the way that one thing happens, but God wants to bring things back. He wants to bring a reconciliation back to this place of darkness and of division. So the second thing is that despite all the gloom and doom of Isaiah's prophecy, and in fact God told Isaiah that, you know, his job actually was to bring a bit of gloom and doom, you know, and sometimes, you know, we need a difficult message, don't we? We need to be told things that make us squirm, that make us uncomfortable. And I think it must have been hard for Isaiah, you know, when you look at some of the things that he wrote in his prophecy, and he thought, well, you know, it'd be nice for a change just to give a bit of good news, wouldn't it? You know, all this doom and gloom and everything. But despite all the darkness of Isaiah's message, there's this glimmer of hope, this glimmer of light. And this is what God said to Isaiah. This is the message that I want you to bring. He said, I've got a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you a light to the nations so that all the world may be saved. That's Isaiah 49 and verse 6. So in a sense, Isaiah's prophecy kind of forms a bit of a bridge, doesn't it, between the Old Testament on the one hand and the New Testament on the other, when Jesus comes and proclaims himself as the light of the world. You know, the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in the New Testament by Jesus himself. You probably remember, don't you, when just after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary had to take Jesus to the temple to be dedicated, to be presented there. And of course the person that was there was Simeon, wasn't it? And Simeon took the baby Jesus in his hands and he said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles in the glory of your people Israel." That must be quite amazing, really, wasn't it? Do you imagine if, Simeon standing there with Jesus in his arms there and seeing how the Old Testament prophecies had been fulfilled in the birth of this tiny baby. Absolutely amazing, isn't it, really? You know, when you read the Bible and see the way God's woven all of those strands together. And of course, Isaiah here is speaking of God's love not only for Israel, but for the other countries as well. Even nations like Egypt and Assyria are not beyond the bounds of God's love. You know, in verse 18, doesn't it? It says that Egypt will speak the language of Canaan, the language of the promised land. Things are going to change. That, you know, however difficult we might think it is to change people and to bring them to a knowledge of God, Isaiah saying, "Well, it's possible. You know, I brought this light, and you know, it is going to happen. One day, these things are going to come to thing." And also, as more and more it becomes relevant, doesn't it, as we're in those last days and as we're approaching. You know, I think this is a prophecy not only for the people of Assyria and Judah and Egypt, but it's also a prophecy for us today, here in England in 2022. And it's relevant, isn't it, for us as a church here at Kingsthorpe. You know, God sent us to be lights in a dark world. You know, think for a moment about the church of which we're part of. You know, are we bringing light into the darkness? Are we making it easy for people to come to faith in Jesus? You know, are we a church that welcomes people? You know, Isaiah's vision was to bring people together from different nations. You know, however people are, whatever they're like, whatever their personalities or anything, you know, they were all welcome to God. Talks here about the language of Canaan, doesn't it? It makes me think actually about our language in church. I'm not talking about whether we swear or not. I'm thinking about sort of the way that we talk to people. You know, do we talk down to people? Do we use terms and expressions and things that are a bit kind of churchified, you know, and use sort of jargon and that sort of thing? You know, I've heard sermons preached and I've not understood a word of it because, you know, people have talked about things like being washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, just meaningless, isn't it, to many people? That's written in the Bible. So we need to think about the way that we are presenting God's message to people. You know, when we get together socially and have meals and social events and things like that, you know, are we welcoming? Are we thinking about people's needs? You know, do we present ourselves as a church that people want to be part of? Or are we inward-looking, cliquey, insular? You know, we often think that, you know, if particularly, you know, if you've been a believer for a number of years, you've arrived somehow, don't you? And, you know, you're the sort of God's chosen people. But Isaiah reminds us here that it was the nation of Israel that was God's chosen people. And we're the Gentiles, aren't we? We've sort of come in late to the party, haven't we, in a sense? We're the adopted ones in God's family. And we need to remember, I think, that, you know, we're only able to be come to God by his grace. You know, not by anything that we've done, but by God's grace. The third thing that Isaiah says is that all nations shall worship God. As I said a few moments ago, I believe this is a prophecy of end times. Isaiah here, I think, is speaking of Jesus, the future Messiah, as the light. And of course, Jesus himself said that we are to be the salt and the light, didn't he? You know, they were commands, there were things that Jesus said that we need to do. But of course, any turning to God, before anyone can come to God, there's got to be a call for repentance and for judgment, hasn't there? You know, we cannot bow down and worship God on our own terms. You know, Isaiah prophesies that in that day, the Egyptians will become weaklings. They will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Almighty raises upon them. In verse 22, he says, the Lord will strike Egypt with a plague, and he will strike them, and he will heal them. And they will turn to the Lord, and he will respond to their pleas and heal them. You know, one minute, Egypt is right out of God, you know, right far, far away from God. But Isaiah's prophesying that one day, even they will be brought back to God. And of course, even God's own people, the people of Judah, the people of Israel, were sent by God into exile into Babylon, weren't they? And you know, the exile was a time of reflection, wasn't it, for the Israelites? It meant they had to stop worshipping in the temple. The temple was destroyed, wasn't it? It was later rebuilt. The whole things that they did of giving sacrifices to God, that stopped. And there was a lot of other things that they did as part of their worship, which ceased when they went into exile into Babylon. But I think it made them think about the essentials of their faith. You know, we've had 2 years, haven't we, of times when the building's been closed. We've been worshipping on Zoom and, you know, it's been difficult, hasn't it, to do the things that we've been used to. But these last few years have been an opportunity for us to think about our faith, hasn't it? About what's important and what's not so important. You know, it's easy, isn't it, to become dependent, isn't it, on those things, those idols, those things that we kind of cling on to, that sort of, all, we seem to think are part and parcel of our worshipping God, yet, in effect, it kind of just props that sort of hold us up. You know, I don't believe we should go back to doing what we were doing 2 years ago. We need to be looking forward and asking God where he wants us to lead us. He wants us to move on, doesn't he? I like the way that Isaiah describes the way that these nations will come together. He uses the illustration of a highway. Bit America, that isn't it, or a motorway, or a large road between Assyria on one hand and Egypt on the other, and in the middle there is Judah. And the fact that the old borders, all the things that divided, all the things that stopped things happening, will be gone, and it will be a time of peace and reconciliation. These countries will be no longer rivals. Assyrians, Egyptians, and Jews will all worship together. It'll be a time of blessing, wasn't it? Remember that word that God gave to Abraham? You know, he said, one day There's going to be a time of blessing and things are going to come together. The separation will be no more. And of course, Isaiah isn't the only person in the Old Testament who wrote about God's blessing all of the nations. I just want to finish by reading you a few verses from one of David's Psalms, where he himself thinks about that. Just listen to these words. It's Psalm 86. And David says this. He says, "Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. And they will bring glory to your name. For you are great and you do marvelous deeds. You alone are God." So our next hymn takes up the theme of God restoring things again. And we just want God's restoration, don't we? God, the time of God's kingdom to come about in our time. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. Countries that are in the grip of war and oppression at the moment, Probably also ought to pray a bit closer to home for the difficulties and turbulence in our government at the moment. And also, I think, closer to home, to think about us as a fellowship here at Kingsthorpe and about our own needs as well and how we want God to really shine his light into our hearts. So let's pray. Father, we want to praise you and thank you that you did send Jesus into this world to be a light in the darkness. And Father, we're just so conscious as to almost how pitch black the world seems to be at the minute. How difficult it is for Christians to do the things, Lord, that perhaps in a way we've taken for granted over the years. The way, Lord, in which the world just wants to take over. We do pray, Lord, for those countries which are in the grip of war at the moment. We can think of many, of Russia, of Ukraine, Iran, Iraq, and Yemen. Lord, there never seems to be a time when war is not a part of our world. We do pray, Lord, for those countries. We pray for those, Lord, who've started these wars, and we just can't understand, Father, why people want to start wars. So we do pray, Lord, for those leaders, that somehow, Father, you might just speak to them, so that they, Lord, might just see the things and the devastation that they're doing. We pray, Lord, for those who are caught up in the middle of the wars. Ordinary men, women and children, Lord, who just want to live ordinary lives. And yet, Father, because of the actions of a few people, have their world, Lord, turned upside down. We just pray for them, Lord. We pray for their peace and for their needs, Lord, to be met. We pray too, Lord, for our own country, and we pray, Father, for government and for our MPs. We pray, Lord, that you might raise up people of integrity, of honesty, people, Father, who are listening to your voice. And we pray, Father, particularly for those MPs who are Christians. And we pray, Father, that even though it might be quite costly to them to speak up and to say to people, Father, things that they don't want to hear, that you might give them the courage to be able to do that, Father. Because, Lord, we need men and women to stand up, Lord, in this dark world, to say things, Father, that are going to reveal the truth. We pray, Father, for courage for those who have faith. We pray too, Lord, for us as a fellowship here at Kingsthorpe. We thank you, Lord, that next year, Lord, this building will have been here for 200 years. Father, we're reminded that the church isn't the building, but it's the people. And Lord, we are your people here, Lord, in 2022. We're the here and now. We're the ones, Lord. We sang in that hymn, Lord, that it's not the angels, Lord, that are bringing light, but it's us as human beings have been given the opportunity and been given the task, Lord, to spread God's light to those around us. We do pray, Lord, as we have the discussions and things about our future over the next months and years, Lord, that you might give us a clear direction and just help us, Father, to understand what your will is for this church here, Father, in this area of Northampton. We pray, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, in the church. We pray, Lord, for the young, those who are older, Lord, those who are sick at this time. those who are away on holiday. We pray, Lord, for church leaders. We give thanks, Lord, for Romeo and for all the work that he's done at in Kingsthorpe. We just ask, Lord, that you will just be with us and remind us, Father, that you want us to be lights in this dark world. We just praise you, Father, and thank you. In Jesus' name. Our final song then this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine. Couldn't be anything else, could it really?
That's me. Is that okay?